survive on another day.
Is that Elena?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
All right, Joe, you can start the meeting whenever you'd like.
Okay, it's 2 p.m. Tuesday, June 21st, 2022. We're going to have Port of Brooklyn's Harbor Special Commission meeting. Danielle, roll call.
Larry?
Here.
Ken?
Here.
Sharon?
Here.
Joe?
Here.
Richard?
Present remotely.
Okay, any modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda?
No.
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 No. Declaration of potential conflicts of interest?
No.
That's a no. Motion to approve the agenda?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Okay.
A motion to approve the agenda by Ken and second by Sharon. Okay. Public comment.
Roll call.
Sorry about that.
Larry?
Here.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
All right. Public comments. We'll go with Yolanda.
Hi. Good afternoon. My name is Yelena Novak. I am the executive director of the Oregon Chalk Commission, located locally here in Brookings, in Harbor. We represent Oregon Pink Shrimp Fleet, Bottom Chalk Ground Fish Fleet, and Midwater Whiting and Rockfish Fleet, delivering to the Oregon shoreside processing sector. Thank you for this opportunity to comment, and I am very grateful for the Port Commission taking on this item and having a special meeting to discuss this resolution. Very much appreciate that. As I mentioned last week, in summary, this issue is of paramount importance to the fishing industry of all sectors. We stand all united together, unprecedented, quite unprecedented, and we're very proud of that. Bureau of Ocean Energy Management is rushing this process to aggressively industrialize our ocean without adequate investigation of the potential trade-offs. And this is very important to understand, the prototype technology on the industrial scale without knowing the risks and without studying and proving the benefits as well. So we ask respectfully the Port of Brookings Harbor to consider adopting the resolution as was provided to you last week in the packet and sending the letter to the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management and Oregon Department of Energy, prioritizing the existing ocean user groups, advocating for our ocean and natural resource that belongs to everyone. And as residents here and as the industry, it's our obligation to protect this valuable natural resource. If you have any questions, I'm here to answer and provide any feedback. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Dan Frazier.
Thank you. I'd like to start by saying I don't believe your resolution is strong enough language. Straight up. If you do any research in regards to wind turbines, you'll find that there are several studies out, and one of them, and I'm not speaking about only for fishing industry, but I'm talking about our weather patterns. There's an article out that was generated in December of 2020 from the University of Delaware called Wind Farm Weather Influence, University of Delaware, and it says that the offshore wind will impact our weather. If you're a farmer, you'll hate it because it's going to lessen your rainfall. If you're in an area that's in an area that's prone to flooding, you'll like them because it'll lessen your rainfall. We currently are experiencing lots of salt water. We have other issues. We've had two major forest fires in the last 20 years here. We don't need any lessen amounts of rainfall. We need all that we can get. So there's one thing that we need to stop and look at, not only for the impact upon our fishing, but for our weather. There's another study out, and that one is from the Scientific American. It says how weather turbines or how wind turbines affect your very local weather. It'll cause us to warm up. I strongly urge you to change your draft resolution, strongly opposing what they're what's in here, and tell them Bureau of Ocean Energy Management that we do not want them, period. They don't have a need on our coast. We receive all of our weather from the west of us, and we don't need this in front of us to delete any kind of weather that we have. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Any questions for him?
I do. So, Daniel, how about your board of directors? Have you thought about writing a resolution?
This has not come to our, we did not discuss it at our current board meeting, our last one. Quite honestly, we dropped the ball on it, but I am going to speak to our board personally, individually, this week, and see if I can't, if they'd like to do something as well. I spent several hours last night drafting one for public comment, only to find it. Thank goodness I printed the thing, because otherwise it had been deleted and gone. But anyway, so I got to go back in and address one to
Anyone
to Bone.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks, Daniel. All right, Leonard Krug.
I have a few points that you may find pretty interesting. Yeah, my name is Leonard Krug, and as you know, I live here in Brookings, Oregon. I've just got 8 points that demonstrate why we should defer this project. I actually have 800, but I thought I'd cut it down to 8. So. You know, I'd like to start out by saying the Oregon Hatchery Research Center has studies that demonstrate that metals can restrict our salmon's homing ability. If you take a piece of iron and throw it in a tank of salmon, they'll change the direction that they're facing according to the placement of the metal. And if you add a component with dissimilar metals, like a conventional power conductor, it will disorient them so that they cannot find a common direction. So we're going to put thousands of miles of cable and steel into the ocean, which alone will create enough of a current for our salmon to likely become completely disoriented, but will also connect a current to it and create one giant electromagnetic force field. This could cause the crash of much of our North America's salmon, not to mention all of our other precious marine life, such as our migratory pelagic species, our whales' echolocation ability, and more. You know, we just don't know. Why would we take a chance? This type of project is unique and has never been done before. Oregon is an experiment. People are asking, why don't we put in a prototype for a test period and see if it might work? This 2,000 plus square mile project is a test project. History has shown us that once the initial phase of the wind farm is completed, that there will be a phase 2, phase 3, and so on. People have no idea of the potential magnitude of this endeavor. And by the way, that meeting in Gold Beach, they confirmed that. They talked about phase 2 and phase 3. They want to blanket this coastline with those almost thousand foot tall colossal giants. So let's talk about risk reward a little bit. These windmills produce about 3 gigawatts of power. The state of California will likely be the higher bidder for this green energy, as their power demand is fast outpacing their ability to purchase power, especially since they've moved away from much of their traditional power contracts from the national grid, such as coal, hydro, and gas. 3 gigawatts sounds like a lot, doesn't it? Now let's see, 1,000 megawatts equals 1 gigawatt. That doesn't really explain much, but to put it into better perspective, the current annual demand for electricity in California is 190,913 gigawatts. Almost 200,000 gigawatts annually for just California. So what's 3 gigawatts? The risk is horrific. The reward is negligible. The national grid will end up with a tiny sliver of green energy to sell on the open market. Oregon's reward will be zero. Oregon's loss will be great. There is no environmental impact statement required. Washington, D.C. has given the order to circumvent all environmental protocol and get this green energy online now. The only thing that's green about this energy are the unfathomable amounts of green money that are available. Rhode Island and Virginia, the other two wind farms in the United States, have had a feed-in tariff clause incorporated by their states that allows for the state's electrical ratepayers to assume financial liability for investors. And Oregon taxpayers are expected to pay for any onshore infrastructure improvement costs related to the project. We have one of the richest, most pristine environments on Earth. This is why we live here. This is Oregon. But Oregon is about to help unleash what will likely be the largest destruction of habitat, the biggest detriment to an ecosystem and its creatures ever to hit our state. This will not only cost everyone in this room quality of life, but will cost us money through taxation. And the last one, number eight, according to the U.S. Department of Energy, green energy is 10 times costlier to produce than traditional power and much less reliable. There's way too many unanswered questions. There are many reasons to defer this project and few reasons to move it forward. And finally, come November, vote for candidates that share your values and ideals. Choices are very few, so it makes it very simple. And thank you for allowing me that 3 minutes, 2 minutes and 59 seconds.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice one.
Okay.
I have a question.
I just want to know, you're talking about California having these wind turbines out in the ocean. Will that affect our sea life up here, the whales and stuff? Because you're talking about the whales being disoriented and stuff, so that'll affect us too, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're migrating.
And it could change the ocean currents and affect everything, you know, all the way up and down the continent.
Right.
We don't know.
Yeah,
there's indications
that it
will.
Ken's got a question for you, Leonard.
Leonard, again, Hatchery Research Center come out with any information on the salmon?
No, but I've spoken to them about this because I know they had some studies related to that, and that's where I got my information from. I spoke to some people at the Oregon Hatchery Research Center about the homing ability from metals in a tank. They have several studies. That's where I got the information from.
Well, the Oregon Research Hatchery Research Center has a very interesting demonstration in a 2,000-gallon, I believe it is, tank. They have wired every square inch of that thing in grids, and they can duplicate the magnetic field in any position on Earth. And they've got salmon smolt in there. And when they change the grid, the fish will rotate in a different direction. You know, the magnetic field is their guidance system. So, yeah, it would be interesting if they come out with something in writing.
Well, they have it in writing if we wanted to access it.
Well, I haven't seen that report in regards to this. I mean, I've been there and seen the results.
The bone people tried to tell us that they've done their own studies on an underwater cable out of San Francisco, and they didn't show any disorientation of fish from that power cable. That's their studies. They were quite interesting to listen to. They didn't know about 80% of what we asked of them.
Danielle, do you have any public comment for me?
I have three public comments. Would you like for me to read them out loud?
Please.
I received one from Josh Whaley. It says, to the Commission of the Port of Brookings Harbor, thank you for your consideration in joining communities up and down the coast that support us fishermen, with the passage of this resolution. My hope is that this sends a clear and united message to Bo and our local politicians that the attempt to force offshore wind off our coastline without full transparency or knowledge of the impacts to our fisheries, environment, and local economy will not be tolerated nor accepted. I have been kept very well informed and involved in this issue up and down the coast, and Foam's tone to fishermen and coastal communities have been nothing short of dismissive and full of political slogans fit for television. Even one of our local county commissioners seemed to be blinded by Bones' promises of jobs and sustainable energy. Our West Coast fishing fleets are experts on sustainability, as we have cautiously and effectively regulated the ocean environment for a century. The standards and practices we are held to are strict and very well documented. Bone has come in with a tone of "we will do our best," which we simply cannot accept. We all deserve better. We all deserve a seat at the table. We all deserve to have our most obvious concerns addressed. Irreparable damage occurs in our ocean for a government experiment. Thank you, Josh. I also received a public comment from Carrie Silva, Secretary of the Fishing Vessel Jeanette Marie, Inc. We own the 67-foot trawl Jeanette Marie out of Charleston. We have commercially fished in Brookings call areas for 40 years. We are asking that you pass the Port of Brookings Harbor Resolution regarding the offshore wind developments. There are too many unknown risks to the ocean ecosystem, sensitive habitats, marine mammals, and seabirds that are endangered, like the endangered short-tailed albatross, just to name a few. Bones process needs to slow down and have several studies done like an EIS so that it is clearly understood what the impacts will be to the ocean ecosystem. Moving too fast is when big mistakes are made. The resolution will help to slow this process down. Thank you for your time. And then we also received a public comment from Heather Mann from Tidewater Trawls Cooperative. Dear President Heath and Commissioners, please accept these comments on behalf of Midwater Trawlers Cooperative, MTC, regarding the offshore wind resolution being considered at your June 21st special meeting. We strongly support moving forward with support for this resolution. MTC represents 30 trawl vessels that fish for the Pacific, whiting at the at-sea mothership and shoreside sectors, as well as traditional groundfish, black cod, rockfish, and patrol sole. We have harvested millions of pounds of sustainable seafood out of both call areas. In fact, there is no space within either call area that has not been fished. This is an issue that impacts all Oregon fishermen, not just the ones home ported in Brookings or Southern Oregon. We have heard from hundreds of coastal Oregonians who are deeply concerned about the Bone process and possible impacts that implementing offshore floating wind. These concerns are much deeper than displacing fishermen from traditional fishing grounds. Concerns over a variety of potential impacts to the marine ecosystem, including impacts to endangered species, bottom habitat, and sustainable fisheries. Some of the concerns may be which is justified since the commercial floating offshore wind farm in deep waters does not currently exist in the United States. What's more, a floating offshore wind farm in deep waters is not operating commercially anywhere in the world. There are some demonstration projects in Europe that we can learn from, but there is nothing operating in the same conditions that we face in the Pacific Ocean off Southern Oregon. And a precautionary approach must be taken in order to protect the environment and our fisheries. We are simply asking for a cautious approach, one that focuses on demonstration projects first before moving into a fully commercialized wind farm, which will take up hundreds of square miles of ocean and contain more than 250 wind turbines, twice the height of the Statue of Liberty. We've also believed that considering new technology that exists, looking outside 1,300 meters may be a good option, though there is fishing that occurs in those depths, and there are still environmental considerations there too. It is also necessary to ensure the risks and the impacts to the environment, endangered species like whales and birds, and sustainable fisheries are known upfront versus at the end of the process. As important are the economic impacts to commercial and recreational fishing and the communities that rely on those activities. Considering these impacts at the end of the process versus at the beginning is backwards. We are not saying no to offshore wind, offshore floating wind. We are asking for the support of communities to ensure this type of development is done in a reasonable manner and within and with eyes wide open. We implore the commissions and others to look deeper into BOEM's process and the actual technology itself. Manufacturing of wind turbines is a carbon-heavy and copper-intensive process, and the blades at this time cannot be recycled once they are useful life, their useful life is over. The unknown risk to California current endangered birds and whales and to our natural resources must be considered. This isn't just about being displaced from fishing grounds. Oregon's commercial fishermen face a myriad of challenges while pursuing their livelihoods. There are existing closed areas, marine reserves, and essential fish habitat areas where fishing cannot occur. There are additional areas that fishermen voluntarily stay out of to minimize incidental catch of non-target species. There are gear restrictions in certain areas. Some are required and others are common sense so you don't lose your gear. There are changing ocean conditions that have resulted in species showing up in different areas in different amounts than we have seen before. There are marine mammals and endangered species considerations, including critical habitat designations. There are capacity and processing infrastructure considerations and balances a variety of fishery harvesters that impact timing of seasons. The fish we target do not understand boundaries the way that humans do. The fish are following their feed and preferred water temperatures, which is also changing as climate changes. Even throughout floating offshore wind farms, the ocean off Oregon is an obstacle course, not an open grassy plain. We hope you will agree as the harvesters of healthy seafood for the nation who simultaneously support thousands of Oregon jobs both onshore and on the water. The concerns of the fishing industry regarding offshore energy development must be acknowledged and minimized. Please adopt the resolution and join many other cities, countries, and ports in supporting responsible offshore floating wind development versus the rush to commercialization of the untapped technology. Thank you for your consideration. That is all the public comments that I have.
Great job.
Okay. Action item. So if you guys want to discuss the action item, resolution number 2022-05.
Richard?
I did it correct.
Richard has something.
I have a comment to make about this. I want to be clear. I don't support wind energy. I don't think this is the right idea. But I want to tell you from, I've spent 16 years working head-to-head with the Department of Interior, who you're dealing with here, and they are following their public process. So what you see is what you get. So I'm telling you that what they're asking for right now is not anybody's discussion about the platforms or the technology is about where the call areas are located. And they're looking for specific comments about the location of the call areas and anything within those that needs to be avoided from the fisherman's perspective. I think the most appropriate challenge at this point for the fishing community is to look at the cumulative impacts from not just this action, but other federal actions as they affect particularly the trawl fleet. In her comment, Heather Mann made some reference to the number of areas that are off limits to trawl fishing. I think those should be enumerated by the trawl fleet in terms of percentage of area. My rough math on these tells me that in terms of the waters of the United States and state waters off the coast of Oregon, the call area represents about 2.5% of those waters. If you take that from 40 miles in, it's about 12% would be essentially removed from fishing. I think those are numbers you can use, or similar numbers you can use, to better characterize how much of the area is actually open to fishing, because under this scenario, they're assuming it all is, I think. So anyway, with those comments, I support the resolution. At this point, the benefit of this resolution is we're building a record. That record will become important later on should there be legal challenges to this, which I think that there will be. So having all of this on the record is important to be able to demonstrate that there were comments made. I don't know that these comments about the actual devices themselves are going to be germane at this point, but for the point at which we are find ourselves, I think it is appropriate for us to pass this resolution.
Thanks, Richard. Anyone else?
Cool. May I just add one thing?
Yeah.
You know, that's the bowl meeting. I made this all about the commercial fishery. And it's much bigger than that. That's a sliver of the whole problem of the what will be affected for our lives and way lives and our culture here. So more than just about fishing this day.
Thank you, Richard. This is Yelena Novak, OTC. Couple of things, and I cannot speak to percentages without looking into data, but a couple of things. BOEM, in this process, they are asking for some fishing data, which is an unfair ask, considering they have access to the federal and state agencies that have all data. They're making it the responsibility of the fishermen. That's one. Two, they pit fishermen one against each other when they're asking, show me on the map where is exactly the good, where is bad. I don't think it's a fair approach. Number one, not all fishermen are even aware of these. Number two, recreational, for example, sector completely unrepresented. There is, if you're not, you know, there is zero data in their analysis for rec sector, I'm sorry. And lastly, as far as the fishing grounds for the trawl sector, it is important, and other sectors, it is important to realize that some fisheries are based on CPUE, the catch per unit effort, especially fisheries that wind down in their volume. Towards the end of the season, for example, whiting is not as available as early on in the season. It's just the nature of the fishery, same with crab, the same with shrimp. So it's not as linear to look at the fishing grounds as just a mere area, and the bone looks at it as a hotspot. So here's a hotspot, and okay, we took some hotspot, but you still have, well, it's a little more than that. There is a bycatch that we want to avoid, which is also not part of the conversation. And the catch per unit effort that plays a big component of where fishermen choose to fish or not to fish. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, guys. Well, you can. Any comments?
No.
I just want to comment that I'm 100% against them.
Against the resolution? Or
against the windmills, the resolution.
It's written.
Yeah. I'm just against, I just want to make it clear that I'm against the windmills out in the ocean, period.
So, you need a motion.
Are you ready for a motion?
Yeah, I'm ready for a motion.
I make a motion to approve Resolution 2022-07 regarding offshore wind. I don't agree it's perfect, but it's the best we've got at the moment, and I support it.
Second. All right, we've got a motion from Ken and a second from Larry. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
All righty. Let's see. Commissioner comments? No one? That's good. Next regular meeting date is Wednesday, July 20th, 2022 at 2 p.m. This meeting's adjourned.
Goodbye.
Thank you so much.
How does that thing know what you're doing?
Girl, I see it, but.